Come on.
Okay.
That's more like it. New independent research comparing loads of actual sales data has confirmed that when it comes to ROI, RADIO is the clear winner. Hardly surprising when you consider that each week, 95% of Australians tune in to the radio station they love. So if you want some serious advertising ROI, add radio to your marketing mix ASAP. Just search radio. Show off.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing. Fields bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
They're off. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
It is 1 minute past 10, and Jared Middleton joining me now, tab.com.au. G'day, Jared.
G'day, Cozzy. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. We've got Matt Russell joining us now from Fox Sports as well.
Yeah,
G'day,
Matt.
G'day, Sean. G'day, Jared.
G'day, Matty.
Big crowd, big night.
Last night at Belmore, what a night. The first premiership game there since 1998, and didn't the Canterbury faithful love it? It was great to see the hill full. There were people in trees, on the back of cement trucks, on verandas. A fantastic Monday night crowd, and isn't there a lesson there that if you do it right, you can get a big crowd on Monday night by going to some of these traditional or different venues?
Yeah, it looks like next is the country too, hopefully, for Monday night footy looking ahead, Matty. But on a serious note, the Bulldogs now, $8 into $7 in premiership betting. They're starting to look formidable. That side they put on the field last night looked formidable, particularly when you got like Josh Reynolds coming off the bench with 20 or so to go. Last year's grand finalists, are they a genuine contender?
Definitely. I heard Andrew Johns say last night that he rates their roster this year as better than the premiership side last year. They've got one of the Morris brothers. You see Curtis Rona scoring tries on a wing. I agree with him. Look at David Clemmer's development, another 200 metres plus last night. No Josh Jackson, no James Graham, so there's two quality forwards still to come back in. And young Sean Lane, the South Sydney junior, who's only played his second NRL game last night, 140 metres, a try, he's just 20 years of age, another man mountain like Clemmer, so don't they have a generation of forwards right there to look forward to?
We've got to talk about Clemmer, Matty. Who does he remind you of?
The maddest, baddest dog in the yard. Because he is scary, isn't he? And look, I don't know whether he will lock heads with, oh, I'm sure he will, bump bodies with Dylan Napa at origin level in years to come, but won't that be a collision to look forward to? He's what you want in a front rower. He's a little bit mad, he's big, he's strong, and he's willing to do whatever he needs to do to win a game. So he's a player to watch.
Oh, I love watching him, no doubt. Just going through some other results for the weekend, how that shaped betting looking ahead. The Cowboys are $4.50 out to $5 in premiership betting after that loss to the Sharks. Now the Roosters still the favourites there at $4.50. So the Cowboys and Brisbane are joint second favourites at $5. But the Sharks, they were $10 in head-to-head live betting at halftime. Down 18-0, Matty. How did that one turn around against the Cowboys the other night?
It turned around via Mick Ennis, the crafty hooker who came up with three try assists. Nothing fancy about them, just good passing out of dummy half. He passed for Luke Lewis, Sam Tagatese, Andrew Fifita. He directed traffic. The traffic went in the right direction for the Sharks, and you're right, from 18-0 down, back to win at 24-18. The Sharks have now won four of their last five, so it's been a mid-season comeback from the men from the Shire, and it needed to be.
Yeah.
Matty, to get those crowds on a Monday night like last night, do you just got to, have they got to work on having a point of difference from now on?
I think what it showed was that obviously there was some appeal about going to this traditional venue, a heartland of the Canterbury Bankstown. What they've got to be very careful with is not going there too often, but picking the time. Mm. You know, people might say the novelty will wear off quickly. Well, it hasn't worn off at Leichhardt Oval by playing games there. Occasionally we see a dud crowd on a wet, dreary night, but generally Sunday afternoon or a big game, you'll fill the venue. I think the same can be said for Belmore. We've just got to be careful that we're not locking more fans out than we're allowing in. I don't think we did that last night, even though it was sold out. So you're right, a point of difference on Monday night where the atmosphere comes through the television at you, where you tune in and you can feel the ground throbbing from your lounge room seat if you don't go to the game. That's what we got at Belmore, so let's do it more.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Leichhardt Oval, Matty. The Tigers, they're now favourites in our most losses market at tab.com.au. $2.75 in from $4 after the 35-12 loss to Penrith. They're joint bottom on 12 points with Manly and Newcastle. Now, what is wrong with the Tigers?
Well, I've tipped them a few times this year when they played at Leichhardt and just expected them to win, but they've been so disappointing. And Jason Taylor is asking fans for patience. He's trying to reinvent the way they have played in the past. Look, I'm not a rugby league expert sufficiently to say exactly what is going wrong at West Tigers. When you look at the fact that they've got Aaron Woods, Robbie Farah, Martin Tapau, and a couple of halves who are tipped to be exciting players of the future, you have to ask, why aren't you giving us a little bit more right now? Penrith have had a tough season, yet they're able to put 35 points on West Tigers. That tells me straight away there are some defensive frailties. And David Simmons, the Penrith winger, scores 4 tries. He's now scored more than 100 during his NRL career, a career that started at the Sharks, is continuing at Penrith. And what a pity that David Simmons doesn't see more headlines, because he is the sort of bloke who makes everyone want to be involved with rugby league. He's a fantastic clean skin, a great fellow, and he's performing admirably and has done season after season after season.
And I guess it's a reminder too of Penrith and their capabilities too. They've had a horror year with injuries. This is a side that made the preliminary final last year, Matty. If they get themselves into a stage where on the back of Origin 3 and they've got their players back, they can't be ruled out, can they?
What are they paying at the moment, Jared? Because you're spot on. As they welcome players back, every club has injury problems, right? But Penrith has had a heavier injury toll this season than many other clubs. If they can get those players back and be close enough, then, yes, last year we found that they are good enough to go right into the finals and cause some headaches. I love the combination Simmons has with Dean Farre. They've got some experience up front. They have the ingredients if they can get them on the paddock.
Yeah, well, they're $34 and they're 6-8. And if you look at the Dragons, who are fourth, they're 8-6. So you got 2 wins between those 2 sides, and Penrith currently in 10th spot. The Dragons fourth. Speaking of the Dragons, $17 out to $21 in premiership betting, Matty, after their 16-12 loss to Parramatta. That's their third straight loss. It's a great argument that all these losses are very honourable. They were good against the Roosters, pretty decent. They weren't exactly blown out by Canterbury, the first loss in that streak. Where are they at, though, the Dragons, after this defeat?
They're at the point now where I reckon they have to beat North Queensland on Saturday night. They play that game in Wollongong, and the Cowboys are missing troops because of Origin. No Jonathan Thurston, no Tamo, Scott, Morgan. This is a game the Dragons have to win. Even though they're without Dugan and Merrin, you've got to beat North Queensland this week to arrest what could be a very damaging mid-season slide. It is so tight around that 18-point mark. But if you have a couple of losses, all of a sudden you wake up and you're in 11th and 12th, and you think all that hard work that we did earlier on in the season is gone. So I reckon they need to win on Saturday night to prove a point to themselves and the rest of the competition that they are not going away easily. They defended so well to start the year. They've got to get back to that against the Cowboys.
Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, Matt, but...
Yes, you are.
No, not at all.
I know you, Jared.
Do you think, aside from the salary cap, of course, keeping this competition even, do you think that the NRL is also reluctant to change the Origin period due to the fact that some of these top teams who lose players in the middle of the season also brings them back to the pack, doubling, I guess, the competitiveness of the competition?
I don't think that's really in their mind. I think the main priority for them is keeping the broadcasters happy, because the broadcasters tip in the majority of the money. Now, if the broadcasters come to the NRL and say, look, we actually think this mid-season months of Origin and other test football could work, then in a heartbeat I reckon they'll work it out. But at the moment it is they're walking a tightrope to keep the competition happy and keep the broadcasters happy. And I know we could go on for an hour about how we fix this problem. Well, I don't know whether this mid-season month of football is even a fix. We'll still have club football games affected by Origin absences, and we'll have your Origin players playing a month of really intense footy in the middle of the season. Are they really going to be much fresher at the back end because it's restructured? I like the idea of thinking about how we can do it better, but I'm yet to be won by any of the plans.
Yeah, it's exactly Paul Kent's sentiment when you listen to him on NRL 360. I mean, a lot of fans throw their hands up in the air about the Origin period, but there hasn't been a great solution put forward as of yet. Now, Origin 3, the Maroons team yesterday, firstly a comment on the team they named and the dumping of Daly Cherry Evans, probably not too unexpected, Matty.
No, but it is unexpected that they step away from their so-called pick-and-stick policy that has suited them in the past because they perhaps haven't had the same pool of players to choose from that New South Wales have. That is changing now, but certainly it's a bold move to say, Daly Cherry-Evans, bide your time. We're going to go with Michael Morgan. I think it's the right selection on current form and the current makeup of the team, but it is definitely a step away from the way that they have said they like to behave in the past. I'm looking forward to seeing Dane Gagai at Origin level. He had a little bit of a false start in the past where he got a few of his off-field actions wrong and Mal Meninga sent him off to oblivion, but he's back and I think he's really going to handle it very well. And Josh Papali, well, he's pulled off a couple of big hits for the Raiders and played himself back into form. So, they lose a couple of very talented players, don't they? But they more than cover themselves with those replacements.
Matty, can you see the ladder changing much from now on?
I was just going through it actually with Stephen Roach before we started our chat. No, I can't. I was having a look at the teams who are going to drop out and trying to find a couple. I was asking myself, can Melbourne hang on to a top eight spot? Well, if they get Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith back fit after Origin, then I think they can hold on. I'm trying to work out who's going to drop out and who's going to come in. Canberra have a good run home in terms of playing teams outside the top eight, but at the moment they're outside the top eight and they weren't very good against the Warriors on the weekend despite the fact they had no possession or position on the field. So I can see maybe one of those bottom eight teams coming in and one of the top eight going out.
As far as our betting's concerned at tab.com.au, just huge interest too in the most losses market. As I was mentioning before, the Tigers now the favourites. The other two candidates there, as far as the betting's concerned, Newcastle are second favourite in that market at $3.25, Manly at $4.50. Both those sides with the Tigers at the bottom of the ladder. Newcastle were very poor against Brisbane early the other night. South's too good for Manly. Who do you think finishes bottom there and takes out the most losses, Matty?
Look, I'm going to upset all our friends in the Hunter, but Newcastle. They were 4-4 after the first month of the competition and flying. Just one win since then. I don't see how they're going to be able to muster a lot of other wins before the end of the year, whereas I wonder whether teams like Manly and West Tigers might lift accordingly and leave Newcastle stranded. So if you had to bend my arm, Jared, I'd go with the Newcastle Knights.
Now, the Blues team today, Matty, what do you expect as far as changes are concerned? What's going to happen in this number 9 jersey? And can you please explain to me in some sort of layman's terms how Michael Ennis can be picked? I'm confused.
Okay, I'll tell you right. Now, Robbie Farah has a busted hand, but at this stage hasn't ruled himself out. So, Laurie Daly will name Robbie Farah today, and then Michael Ennis will miss a week because of his suspension when the Sharks play this weekend. Then next Monday or Tuesday, Robbie's hand won't have healed sufficiently, so they'll have to go and find a new hooker, and lo and behold, Michael Ennis would have cleared his suspension and be available for New South Wales selection. So there you go. That's the way we sort it out. Sean, I know that all the people in Queensland would be more than happy for New South Wales to do that because you've done it in the past as well.
Oh, look at that. You're just like an old, an old ugly wife who just wants to get into me and give me heaps, don't you, eh? You want to keep bringing up the past.
Tony Tons of Carroll. Remember that in 2005? Queensland named 16, number 17, TBA.
Hearing's
sure
gone.
Enough,
hearing's
played,
gone.
Missed the game with suspension, parachuted in. So what goes around comes around. All's fair in love and war.
Exactly. Hey, Matty, I noticed about 14 minutes ago, the tickets went on sale for the grand final, didn't they?
Yeah, they've been on sale for a little while, the club members, and now the general
for the
issue
public today,
is
yeah.
up. And you're right, we keep saying it, don't we? Who's going to play in the grand final? Brisbane alone on top, 2 points clear. The Cowboys have just had their 11-game winning streak snapped by the Sharks. I've always been impressed with the Roosters when I've seen them play this year. In fact, I was asked this week, how many teams do I genuinely think can win the comp? I get to six, and I'm still thinking to myself, you know, I'm still not confident that there's a seventh or eighth that couldn't make a run like Parramatta in 2009 and snatch the title. It's so so close. It's such a good competition, but it's anyone's guess. And from that perspective, Jared, it's a good betting market, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing money thrown around across all different sorts of teams as far as premiership betting is concerned. Still, those Souths as well supported back-to-back. We know how hard it is from their performance the other night against Manly. There's still something watching them. You're just not quite convinced. How do you feel about Souths, Matty?
I feel like they're building. I feel like they've won four of their last five, and they haven't played brilliant footy week in, week out. They started the season with a bang. Remember that? They weren't going to lose a game all year. I think the tab released a market. When do Souths have their first loss? Sure enough, next week they had their first loss.
It's the tab curse, Matty. Anytime we put those markets up, it's amazing how it happens the next week. It's the tab curse.
Yeah, Paul Green needs a present from the tab because you've left him with a loss as well. So I think Souths might time their run. I'm not sure they'll go back-to-back. History says it's so hard. I'm sure they'll be in the finals, and I'm sure that if they're fit and firing, they'll take some tossing. But what about the Hit Boys in the South Sydney Manly game? Tackle of the year. I can't see it being topped. Steve Mattai on Dave Tyrrell. Tyrrell was running 1 minute. Next minute, he's looking up at the stars, and the stars were in his eyes and in the sky because that was some shot from the hitman, Steve Mattai.
Oh, he can hit. He's one of the best in the game. Was it Papali who put that hit on
Josh Maguire?
Yeah, Josh Maguire. Yeah, that was
up
there too.
I had him sitting number one in hit of the year, but Steve Mattai's gone past it.
Right, there you go. Also, just finally, Matty, just Origin, $1.70 Queensland, $2.20 New South Wales. The early money was for the Blues. They're now coming back for Queensland. Suncorp Stadium, the Cauldron, considering all that's happened in the past two games on and off the field, this is going to be as electric as it gets. How do you see it playing out?
The build-up has got a little bit more toxic each time, hasn't it? So I don't know what we're going to get before Game 3 because that back page of the Courier Mail referring to Paul Gallen, at least we're not drug cheats. I thought it took us right to the precipice, if not over it, in terms of what was acceptable in media build-up. So we'll see if we can push the boundaries this time as well. As a result, it will be fever pitch. Cauldron-like atmosphere at the Cauldron. That will be such a big boost for Queensland. I want to tip New South Wales. I think New South Wales can win, but when I consider that it's at Suncorp with those rabid Queenslanders looking down, I'd have to go with Queensland.
Yeah, it's the great intangible in sport, isn't it? The home ground advantage.
Good on you, Matty.
How do you see it, Sean?
Yeah, oh, mate, Queenslanders. What are you talking about? Those maroon eyes, mate.
Oh, yeah. Dear, oh, dear.
Instead of the rose-coloured glasses, the maroon-coloured glasses.
Yeah, as long as all the Queensland fans know their way to the toilet.
Oh, look, this time. Just got to put the boot in every time, haven't you? No, you can't. But you know what? Isn't it great that we can have rivalry like that and fun like that and we can go and enjoy a great spectacle and we don't have hassles?
No, we're very lucky, mate.
We
indeed.
Are. Too right. Mate, good to catch up, and we will talk to you next week, Matty.
Just the four games this weekend, boys, so we'll look forward to that, and then it's Origin 3.
Yeah, thanks, Matty. Bring it on. Good on you, Matt. Matt Russell joining us there at 18 past 10, straight after this first race at Forbury Park. Jessica Payne will join us, and no, she's not one of the Paynes who were from Victoria. They're about to load now, Forbury.
And now to 16, it's the roughie in the race. Where's the green ruck? More close, so I'll make 5, 3, and 1 on the first. It's the Otago first ball made, and the trip here is 310 metres, and they're about to be trapped away. A glorious afternoon in Highlanders country. Yes, we're about to get them underway. The first off 12 this afternoon. Favourite Badoozy goes from the outside alleys at $2.40 and a dollar. This about to moves to the traps. Another charm will go on the inside. Badoozy's out wide. Reserve dog and its inside is Lynn Baxter. War Cloak, Apollo King, and another Roscoe in between runners. Paddy Noir from 2, Crystal McBell from 3. Last few going in, another charm. Badoozy's going to be the last to join them over the outside. Lynn Baxter, the inside of that, then War Cloak. Another charm down on the inside, Crystal Noir too. Green light on. Favourite outside alley, Badoozy, pink rug. 3.10, buddy closing, we're off. Missing it here was Cloudy Noir, slow away to was another Russ. One of the best out is Crystal McBell has the lead, storming after it. Apollo King on the outside on another charm. Favourite's not in this, it's back in midfield as they turn and go. And Crystal McBell after it, another Russ. Crystal McBell, another Russ out wide. Apollo King third, Cloudy Noir fourth.
Back behind those came War Cloak, Lindback to the inside, back behind those to another Charm and Badoozy, the favourites, the last one to go by.
3, 4 and 5 probably there. Number 3, Crystal McBell, 4, 10, 180, 4, another Russ, 7, 90, 5, Apollo King, $1.70. We'll confirm those in a moment. Now, Jessica Payne is riding at Geelong today on the synthetic in Victoria. And no, she is not one of the Paynes. I'd love to know how many times she's had to say that. Joins us now. Morning, Jess. How are you?
Good. How are you, Sean?
Very well, thank you. Now, people get a bit confused because they see the surname Payne. You often ride for Patrick Payne, but you are not one of the Paynes.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've had to say, no, I'm no relation. But, you know, it comes with the territory and they're well known down here. So I guess people only, you know, they go on face value and they think that I am.
Well, I think you kicked off in Port Macquarie, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I started with Jenny Graham in Port Macquarie, and Jen was a really good boss, and I learned all the ground from the ground up there. And, you know, I just thought I had a bit of problems with an injury, so I thought that I'd take some time off. And Mum and Dad had moved to Kerrang in the meantime in Victoria, so I thought I'd come home.
Where's home initially there, Jess?
Home initially is Port Macquarie, Kempsey area.
Okay, lovely.
Now, you came down to Benalla to Wayne Nichols, but I think you had a saddle slip in track work one morning, and that wasn't a good result for you.
No, it wasn't. I broke my femur, and I had a lot of complications from then on in with it. So it was a matter of just going back and having corrective surgery a few times, and, you know, it's finally come good now.
Well, from what I gather, they operated on it, and then one day down the track you looked and thought, hang on, that's not pointing the right way.
Yeah, actually, I knew as soon as I woke up in hospital, I thought that things were a little bit odd. I couldn't... When I got back riding, I noticed a massive difference. Then I got a lot of pain from it, and my seat was always constantly twisted. So I sought advice from a good trainer in Mr. Hare. He's in Taree, and one of his owners was... She was a receptionist at St. Vincent's in Sydney. So I was able to get to a doctor there and get better advice and get it done properly.
Now, have you got a rod in your leg still?
I don't know. I went and had it taken out because there was a chance that if I happened to fall off again, instead of breaking it, it would shatter. So I didn't want to run that risk of that happening.
How about mentally to overcome that, Jess? How difficult was it, and when did you really feel comfortable riding again?
It wasn't until I had the plate and the rod taken out until there was no metal in my leg at all, because I found that it made my leg quite rigid. But, you know, mentally I got over it pretty quickly. I didn't remember the accident, and the surgery is pretty easy these days with the drugs and that they have. So you don't know that anything's happened. It was pretty normal for me to go home and get back on a horse and, you know, take the next step to come back riding.
Well, you're what we call, I suppose, a mature age, Fannis. Now, I think you're about 22, 23?
23, yes.
Yep. And last year, a great honour for you. You got to go and ride at Chanty in France.
I did. That's definitely got to be the highlight of, you know, my career so far. I'll never forget that. I wanted to go again this year, but I wasn't allowed. It was a really good experience.
Now, how did that come about?
In Victoria, the apprentice is on a really good program down here, and it's through them that I was able to get the opportunity. The selection criteria said that you weren't allowed to ride any more than 35 winners, and I guess that you just had to be someone who was, you know, professional on a daily basis, someone who could represent the country. So I was really honoured to be able to be selected and to go over there.
That must have been a massive thrill to ride somewhere like Chanty.
It was amazing. The atmosphere of it all, you know, it was very surreal. Like, even going out onto the track, they had the music and everything playing. I really loved the Moonee Valley night meetings, and it topped out. So it was, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was 12.
Oh, how good.
Now, you are currently with Greg Urill at Cranbourne in Victoria. He's one of Australia's best equestrian riders, a very, very good horseman, apart from being a very good trainer, had Apache Cat. So you couldn't be with anyone better to teach you the skills of riding as well.
No, definitely. Greg's a very, very good boss. Like, if I have any problems, I only have to ask. The help is there if I need it. And Greg watches my rides, and we go back through them. He's very good.
Oops, you there, Jess?
Yes.
Oh, you dropped out there, mate. you've got a few rides today at Geelong. Mr. Rossetti in race two?
I do. He's a first starter. I don't know much about him. Kim trains pretty good, and all his horses go to the races well prepared, so I'll be expecting it to be thereabouts.
Yeah, Mr. Rossetti, we put up a $10 chance at tab.com.au. In race four, you've got Unicaja there. It's a $9 chance for Wayne Walters, Jess.
Yes, it's been racing in good form, and I'd expect to do it the same today as well.
All righty, Ballerine Rose is another handy ride from the Heath Connors camp in race five.
Yeah, look, I think this horse likes the synthetic a lot, and I'm very happy with his chances going there today. I think it could be a singular chance.
Bellarine Rose, an $8.50 chance. You've got Choiser in race seven, or has that been a scratch? No, Choiser's there. It's 80-1 shot also for Wayne Walters.
It looks to be a suitable race on paper for this horse. It might just have to improve a little bit, but, you know, he gets around with no weight, so that'll help him.
And race eight, you're on for Dan O'Sullivan, like Amir's, and it's second up.
She had excuses last start. She wasn't a massive fan of the heavy track at Ballarat. I rode the winner in the race in Venti Pegasus. And I know that she's really good on the synthetic surface, so she's probably my best.
Now, Jess, Raposo was your sixth city winner a couple of weeks ago there at the Valley. What is the best horse you've ridden so far?
I think it would have to be him. I've never sat on a horse that can accelerate so quickly. And for him to do that at Moonee Valley, that's a big, big performance.
Now, Jess, as far as weight goes, do you have any issues at all?
I don't know. I can pretty much eat whatever I want, whenever I want. If I have to ride, my minimum is 51. So if I have to ride 51, I just sort of skip breakfast and I get away with it.
Goodness me, there must be other jockeys walking around with a doll of you sticking pins in it. Hey?
Yes.
You want to be like Lisa Allpress in New Zealand. You know what she used to do to her main opponent, Matthew Cameron, because he struggled with weight? She'd take photos of her food and text it to him. Yeah, for a bit of fun. Photos of her eating chocolates and things.
Jesus.
You could go and do that. Just fix them all up, Jess.
I could, you know. It could be a mental thing for him.
We'll bring out the ugly side, the dark side of you now that no one knew about.
The dark side of racing.
There you go. Well, good luck today.
Thank you very much.
We'll be cheering for you, and we'll have a little something on Lord O, is it? Lord Amir's.
That sounds great.
Terrific. Well, good luck, and all the best, Jess.
Thank you very much.
Jessica Payne joining us there, and she's got about six rides today at Geelong on the synthetic there. And she said, you have to get a T-shirt made with "No, I am not one of the Paynes," because everyone confuses her all the time there, Gerard. But she's a lovely young lady.
Yeah, certainly, and a great little story too, isn't it? And great to see her in Chantilly there too last year. It sounds like she had an absolute ball, and it's an $8 chance too. Like Amir's there in race eight. That is, seems to, as far as the Betty's concerned, that seems her best chance today anyway. Also, just Wimbledon 2, Cozzy, 5 Aussies in action tonight. There were 11 last night. Just the one favourite, though, so those Aussies outside us. Nigel Miligaitis-Sova, she's $4.25 against Sabine Lisicki, who's the 18th seed, playing on a best surface, $1.20. James Duckworth, who's reportedly battling a back injury, $2.10 against Malik Jaziri of Tunisia, $1.68. Casey Delacqua's $1.57 against Tamira Pashik, $2.35. She's coming back for some back problems as well. Sam Groth, $2.50 against Jack Sock, $1.50. They've never met before. And Alia Tomjanovic, $2.45 against Clara Kuklova, $1.55.
All right. Now come back just a sec, Jared. They're almost at Addington Race 2.
Vito Baxter, Charlie Next Boy, and Mr. November. This is the Turf Bar Dash. Favourite jumping from box two, Terramondo. Last couple have been positioned. Green light on, lure rolling here for race two. Set the jump, ready. and Racing. One of the best out of the middle, Taylor's Friend, and driving through there, Vito Baxter, and going around the outside, Charlie Next Boy. They're followed off the track, Mr. November. Further back there, Hayley James. They come towards the corner, getting away, Vito Baxter, trying hard there, Terramondo. But Vito Baxter will beat Terramondo. Three lengths away, third, Taylor's Friend. They're followed back. We go there to Charlie Next Boy. Outside of that was Mr. November. They're followed by Hayley James, perhaps heading the rest with another key. And that was one of the last there on crossing.
4, 2, and 5 there. Number 4, Vito Baxter, 4:32.10. Number 2, Terramondo, 1:40. And 5, Taylor's Friend, 4:70. 4:25 over the line. Jared, you got some more odds for us there?
Yeah, just having a look here up at this multi from One Tab customer, a $10,000 multi at $10 on Serena to win Wimbledon into the Roosters to win the Premiership. So that's a cracker. Be a nice cash out offer too if Serena does win Wimbledon. That'll be a cash out conundrum for that punter should that happen, leading into potentially a finals campaign there for the Roosters. Also the Copa America for our soccer fans out there, the semi-finals happening at the moment. We've got Chile up against Peru, and tomorrow is Argentina and Paraguay. Now Paraguay beat Brazil on penalties, and Argentina are $1.45 there, Paraguay $7.50, the draw